Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome to the True Wealth Podcast, where we specialize in helping aspiring homeowners break into the real estate market and help investors create and build wealth through real estate. We will be sharing some of our best advice around real estate so you can purchase your first home or reduce taxes and achieve financial freedom. Your host, Sean Adeyemi, is a certified financial planner, mortgage professional. Financial freedom is possible when you have the right mindset, coaching, advice, and community. So, let's get real.
Welcome to the True Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Adeyemi. We've been gone for a few weeks now, and we're going to be continuing our conversation with Cher. Andrew Kim, he was on previous episodes, will be sharing with us today different ways to earn six-figure passive income in real estate. If you missed the previous conversations, feel free to check the link in your podcasting app and you can catch up on that conversation. Cher is a technology and innovative platform that helps Canadian buyers buy investment U.S. real estate. So they handle everything from end to end with sourcing the property, finding the property, doing the due diligence, running the numbers with you on cash flow, on profitability, helping you get the place rented out, property management, asset management, which are two different things. Property management is just really managing your tenants, and asset management is ensuring that your property is in pristine condition so that when you do choose to exit, can get a good valuation of that. So Andrew is going to be talking today about six ways or different ways to earn a six-figure passive income in your U.S. real estate investment. Andrew, thank you for joining us today. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy to be back.
Yes, so a lot to chew on, a lot to digest. So I'll let you take the lead on this one.
Yeah, you know, I know we started off with saying, you know, we help Canadians, we help Americans and Canadians, but Canadians are, you know, we're getting a large demand from Canadians, especially from Ontario and BC, and I'll start at a very high level, you know. I think Ontario and BC, you know, with the average price points of their homes being so high, and then the rules around, you know, how you can be a landlord and what the landlord's allowed to do with their tenants, is kind of working against them. So, you know, getting a lot of influx from Canadians looking for direct real estate ownership, but realizing that the numbers and the laws are not working in their favor to invest locally. So they're looking in the US, and when they see our price points, and then the, you know, the rules and how landlord friendly they are, it's making it an easier pill to swallow. And, you know, just recently with all of the Fed announcements in terms of where inflation's at, interest rates, it's looking like Canada's rates may start dropping sooner than the U.S. rates. You know, the inflation, the U.S. economy is pretty strong. The inflation number actually went up recently. So, you know, they were talking 3 to 4 rate drops in the back half of 2024, but it's looking like that might be less or maybe not, or maybe even a rate increase. Right. Whereas Canada is already a little more stabilized and they're anticipating the rates drop. And there's a reason why I'm getting into that. And I think it's becoming advantageous for Canadians to now go at the US real estate market. You know, if you're Ontario, BC, you're looking at an average $750,000 home that's probably over 100 years old, where you're probably not going to cash flow unless you're self-managing. And that's where Cher comes in. You know, like you mentioned, we're an asset manager. So, you know, it's a bigger pill to swallow to understand when working with a client who is constantly self-managing just to make cash flow, where we're finding homes where you could be cash flow positive with property management and then our management fee on top of that. And you kind of nail in the head, where property management is your leasing, your sort of reactive maintenance, whereas asset management, we're actually putting all those pieces together. We're saying work with this property management company because we have a negotiated rate and they're a great operator. Here's a good insurance rate. here's how your portfolio is doing. Here's how we should grow your portfolio so that, you know, we're very active while you can be, you know, hands off and we grow your portfolio. So where I'm going with that is, you know, as we kind of speak to more and more Canadians, it's becoming clear that, you know, they have a few different extra financial vehicles that help them grow their portfolio. And one of the most popular ones we're seeing today is the HELOC. The HELOC in the US isn't as popular of a product, and it's usually a higher rate. Whereas in Canada, that high rate, I mean, the rate they have in Canada is mainly a variable rate, which is slightly lower than the DSCR loan, that sort of investor-friendly mortgage that we would normally go after in the US. And I believe we talked about that on the previous episode. So definitely go check out that episode where we talk about these investor-friendly mortgages that, you know, they underwrite the house, not the borrower, have a 30-year fixed rate where with open refinancing options. So a lot of Canadians now are saying, okay, well, if I use my HELOC, it's almost a whole percent cheaper. It's a variable and it's interest only. So from a monthly cash flow perspective, it's less of a hit. So I can actually go in there and buy it. But, you know, we would never recommend saying, hey, keep it on the HELOC. You know, as rates drop, we'll try to refinance that, put that on a DSCR loan, pay back the HELOC. And then that opens up other opportunities. So where I'm segueing with that is that, you know, we did kind of look at how do you get to six figures over sort of the next 10 years. Real estate is a slow climb. It's not a get rich quick scheme. It does take time. You want the markets to improve. You want to diversify. And obviously, as assets increase, the value increases and you want to take that equity out and then leverage. So, you know, if you're looking to get to the sort of six-figure target, by all means, go to our site, sign up, and we're happy to kind of walk you through that target. But today I'm going to go through how to kind of hit that with using this DSCR loan and how you accelerate it with the HELOC. Now, with using the DSCR loan, again, just a quick refresher. This is an investor-friendly mortgage. They look at the house as a business. They want to make sure that the rental income covers all their hard expenses. And then they'll, you know, lend to you a million times over year, like a million a year. Your personal credit doesn't really play a factor here, a limiting factor. It's more your track record. Again, we have minimal to low prepayment penalties, so you can constantly refinance and buy more. So at a very high level, you know, over 10 years, let's call it, we've devised a plan where you could come in for less than $700,000 US, deployed over sort of the 10-year period, and that will get you a sustainable portfolio of almost up to 15 homes. And again, there's a lot of permutations here, up to 15 homes where you will now be collecting a passive income on by the time of year 10. And this is a very aggressive sort of strategy and plan where we kind of say, okay, you need to front load it. You need to constantly invest, buy homes, reinvest, refinance, reinvest. So your cash flow is going to look kind of like a hockey stick, because we kind of go with the methodology of, you know, if there's a lot of cash flow on a monthly basis, then you're probably missing an opportunity to refinance. Correct. So let's be aggressive. Let's not try to like take a lot of cash off the table over like for a long period of time. Let's try to refinance, get more and more and more. And that way, when you're saying like in year eight, you're like, hey, Andrew, or a share team, we're looking to retire in 2 years. So we need to open up our cash flow, you know, water dam. So what we'll do is we'll look at your portfolio and say, hey, look, you've got X number of homes. If we sell off the bottom performers, pay off all the debt, then we can open up the cash flow and get you to that six figure, or if not higher, or a higher six figure number. So that's kind of our approach there. So we look at that and we said, okay, what's the sort of basic way to get there on a specific type of home, a specific profile? And you can get there as you know, with as little as like just under 700,000 deployed over 10 years. You'll have a healthy portfolio. And this is strictly using cash and a mortgage with very low risk homes. And when I say low risk, it's like minimal to no renovations. But there's always opportunities to kind of accelerate that. And what we are seeing is Canadians using the HELOC to accelerate. So now they've got this extra tranche of capital. They can buy homes with quote unquote all cash because they're buying outright their HELOC. So we can go negotiate better rates. it opens up different types of sellers too. You know, most of the homes that we go after are actually off-market deals, meaning they come from private networks that typically like working with all cash buyers. And you know, there's good opportunities there to buy fixer-uppers at discounted rates. So buying with a HELOC not only opens that channel, we can buy good homes that require fixer-uppers that have may a bit more risk, renovation risk. But once it's done and leased out and you refinance, you've now built this bit of equity, this forced appreciation that allows you to pull out more, keeps your HELOC kind of open and replenish, 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 replenish. And I guess you can call it a you know, the strategy called BRRRR, which is buy, renovate, re yeah, refinance, or rent, refinance, repeat. So, you know, they're starting to kind of go down that risk, renovation risk level. And, you know, buying all cash with the HELOC allows them to go after those types of homes. So there is an accelerated path. So you don't necessarily, you may not necessarily have to spend that $700,000 like cash. That could just be like a HELOC, a rotating HELOC that you're constantly recycling over time and getting you this portfolio with less capital. But for all intents and purposes, we wanted to kind of give you, say, hey, if you wanted to come with cash, you know, we could probably get you there with under $700,000 over 10 years. So yeah, there's multiple ways to get there. I've seen people get there with less, but you know, with a very conservative view, which we take, that is one sort of singular option for our clients.
So let's break down this strategy, 10-year strategy, into micro chunks, right? So investor comes, buys the first house. Let's say they buy it all cash using a HELOC. They get a hundred and well, the average B class properties is probably what you're referring to with low risk properties. So they buy this property for 200,000 to 20,000, give or take, right?
Yeah, so this one study was more on the C class, because yeah, so they're in the higher cash flow side, so it's the least amount invested. So yeah, so the way we want to think about it is the A being the higher price point and C's being the lower price point for the higher cash flow. But I think what we're the major difference is at the end of the 10 years, the portfolio value on a C will not be as high as a portfolio value on A, but the cash flow would definitely be stronger on the C.
Because you're buying at a much lower price points and the rents are basically around the same across the classes. But now the difference is because you bought lower, it means your cash flow is more. So let's say an investor starts with $120,000, $130,000 to buy this property cash. And break it down to me, or how do you get to the $700,000 mark invested, right? So I buy this property cash at $120,000 US, give or take. So let's say $150,000 Canadian. Then what do I do next?
Yeah. So, you know, we would constantly say, like, you know, the first, I guess, 5 years, you're constantly putting capital in and you're buying houses, 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 slightly refinancing. But you do get to a critical mass, let's call it near six-ish, where now you've got this sort of waterfall of homes where you bought year over year over year. And now they're kind of all refinancing each other in a refinancing cycle. And now you're not really putting in much capital after, let's call year six or seven. You're putting in like tens of thousands of dollars at that point, as opposed to like the first 5, 6 years where you might have put north of $500,000. So yeah, you're buying, and then now you've kind of got this critical mass, and now it's kind of this 3 to 5 year refinancing cycle that you're no longer putting capital in. But yeah, it is pretty front loaded. So at the beginning, and that's what I always tell everybody, just in general, if you're going to start investing and you're working a full-time career, you want to be aggressive on your investments while you're still sort of young and healthy, and you can kind of go at that velocity, so that later it's backloaded. But yeah, it is buying one a year, maybe one every year and a half, just constantly buying, and then sort of have like every some from the purchase date to like maybe 2 years later or 3 years later is a refinancing event, and then sort of topping up that gap.
And so I'm even thinking as a Canadian, one of the strategies, for instance, would be a situation where you have some cash, you have 120, 200, 200,000, let's say, in non-registered funds, right? You take some of that cash, you buy the first property. A year later, you take some HELOC from your property, use it to buy a second property. year three, you can then decide, well, maybe I should look at refinancing my home, pulling out a larger size equity, because now we're in year three. Hopefully between when you've, how long, depending on how long you've owned your property or your primary residence, enough equity in there. Now we can now pull out an extra $200,000, $300,000 in equity.
Yeah.
First 5 years, we're buying all this heavily cash flow properties. And the reason why we're doing that is you want to start generating this cash flow, because this cash flow is what's going to allow you to be able to refinance down the road to acquire more properties to hit that critical mass that you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, as properties increase and, you know, that does require some additional capital, you may have to put some of your personal savings or some of your other like liquid investments to top it up. But yeah, to your point, like with every incremental purchase on those cash flow plus the refi, you will have now more towards another down payment of another house. So yes, it's cyclical.
So at the beginning, when you're generating all this cash flow, what do you do with the cash? Do you, depending on how the purchase is set up, which is a different conversation. If you want to check out the conversation we had with Carmen on the ways to hold your U.S. real estate, when you have this extra cash flow coming in, it may not be six figures yet, but even if it's $1,000 a month per property, now we're talking $12,000 for three properties, that's $36,000. But you're not deploying, bringing that cash. Like, what do you do with that? I guess is the question I'm asking.
Yeah. So what we would say, if you're to be aggressive, is, you know, look for opportunities to redeploy that in some other manner. But that's what we're saying, like 12,000 on one unit. You know, you probably need to pad that, put another 50 on top, and then go out and buy another one. But then as you're sort of stacking, that 12 becomes 24, becomes 36. And now all of a sudden after a year, right, then that's another purchase, right, as you kind of stack them incrementally.
Mm-hmm. And the key thing is not necessarily buying every single property cash, right? You're buying some cash, you're buying some with a mortgage. So when you're generating that huge cash flow, you're taking that cash flow, pulling it, maybe adding more money, and then buying another one. And as the other ones, new ones generate more cash flow, you pull the money, you buy another one. And within a space of 6-7 years, maybe you own, if you're buying, let's say two a year, right?
Yeah.
You're 5 years, you own about
10 of them.
Yeah. 10, 12 properties.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we're looking at, like, we see that as well, like 15 is a good number for C class at the end of 10 years. And that should more than enough to generate your six-figure income. But yeah, we wouldn't sit on a home full cash. You know, we would come in there, probably buy all cash, like HELOC or whatnot, and then refinance, kind of replenish the HELOC. But that, I guess, we could be called cash, right? So then you kind of recycle the HELOC, allowing us to go after better deals, more aggressive equity opportunities, fixer uppers. But, you know, I think for most Canadians are very risk averse. So we always got to dip their toe with a low risk one. And it's just so funny how they go from their first one where they're very risk averse. And the second one's like, I'm ready for a big renovation project. Right. I'm like, okay, are you ready? And then, you know, then it's just like the floodgates are open.
So yeah, there's definitely a lot of opportunity for the long-term investor, right? This is not I want to generate this huge cash flow in 5 years. It's possible, but you need to be coming up with a lot of money up front, right?
Yeah, exactly. We could buy a portfolio in day one if you'd like to. But then, like, if that was your goal, it's like, I want six-figure income today, let's say, let's go buy this portfolio. But then over 3 years or 2, 3, 4 years, you'll still be making that six-figure income. That portfolio value has increased. But now we'll say, okay, well, we'll maintain your, let's call it $100,000 income. But now the portfolio has increased in value. We'll say, well, let us refinance it, pull out an extra $100,000 and keep stacking homes. But we'll maintain the cash flow levels at the six figures that you want.
So for somebody with an aggressive strategy like that, I would assume they would need to be able to come up with $500,000 from the jump. Because
right? Probably more than that. So instantly you'd probably want closer to like just over $1 million because we'd be buying a portfolio essentially outright. And then, you know, by like year, I think we have it like year three, we would be able to sort of refinance that and add like an additional 3 units, right?
Right.
And then let it kind of grow over the next sort of 5-10 years and then kind of repeat that sort of same cadence, refinance and maybe stack more units.
So I'm thinking about this strategy as something that would be good for the professional who is about 10 years away from retirement. They've owned their home for the last 20 plus years. The mortgage is almost paid off. I'm actually thinking of a specific client here. Property is worth $2 million. The mortgage on there is $300,000. They want to retire and they really want to retire this year. And technically it is possible through a reverse mortgage because they don't have, they have a little bit of a pension. But I'm thinking of a situation like this where you take an aggressive approach and say, well, can we delay retirements for maybe a year, take out a lot of equity from the property? Because if the property is worth $2 million and your mortgage is $300,000, even if you take $1 billion out of that property, you're still at a mortgage of 1.3 1.3 with a $2 million valuation on the property. My question for them, or the question they would have for me now, is that okay? How do we service this extra $700 or $1 million that we're carrying in cost? Because now you're so pulling out of equity in our property. And I would say, based on the approach that you're looking at, is we could deploy some of that revenue because we're buying a big portfolio right away. We could deploy some of that revenue to pay or to service. At least service the interest cost on that $1 million, right? Yes. And then maybe 2-3 years down the road, depending on the value of the property, like you talked about refinancing, we could potentially refinance some of them, especially if you're buying $1 million, you're buying a lot of properties cash.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. You're buying a lot of properties cash. And in about 2-3 years, even if those properties grow at a conservative rate of like 3-4%, right? And you refinance, and you pull back that cash. We can then throw that cash right back into the HELOC or whatever was taken from that property to pay it down. And then by the time you now retire, I need this six-figure income. Even if that's 2 years from now, they can then retire on the six-figure income while still allowing those properties or the portfolio to service the debt on the mortgage without having to take service the debt from the 100,000 or so six figure that they're earning from.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's just like the whole order of operations, instead of like slowly over 10, it's like aggressive, take my slice. And then as the sort of slow increase of appreciation, you know, I'll start slowly stacking my portfolio on the back half because I've already achieved my target. So anything on top is like a cherry.
Yeah. I'm going to talk to you about this client offline because I think could be a good strategy for them, but it is definitely doable, especially with U.S. prices are so much more reasonable, way better than Canadian prices. There is better landlord policies that you're not holding a property where tenants is not paying for 2 years. I know people doing that, you know, in Toronto, and that's tough. A nightmare, right? Now, obviously, there are risks to anything, right? I don't often just like to paint, oh, it's going to be perfect, you're going to make all this money. Yes, there are risks. And part of the strategy between myself as a planner and you share is to kind of figure out ways to help you mitigate some of those risks so that you're not completely exposed, whether that's making sure there's a little bit of emergency funds or cash reserves to tackle expenses, renovations, or different things that come up. Looking at some of the clients we've worked with, when I look at the spreadsheet, I know there's usually a reserve put away from the cash flow from the properties to help service some of this cost that comes with being a landlord.
Yep. Yeah. You know, we try to mitigate it as much as possible. Like any investment, even through like a proper securities, there's always a risk, of some sort of downside, but we are trying to close that gap, I think, from us on the investment opportunity than you from the client side. So, you know, we do our absolute best to do that. We sort of dial things up and give you a perspective down to a zip code level. And that's sort of what we want to do. We want to make this a lot less risky and a lot less of a headache and operationally intensive.
Andrew, this has been great. I think there are definitely good strategies here that we can take away. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, please rate, share, and subscribe. If you're listening to it on YouTube or listening to it on your favorite podcasting app, please feel free to give us a rating. Andrew, it's been a pleasure having you on board again. I definitely look forward to more conversations and helping more people generate wealth through real estate.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
All right.
Take care.
Take care.
This is all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening to the True Wealth Podcast. Don't forget to rate, share, and subscribe to the True Wealth Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at True Wealth Pod. We'd love to hear from you. Share your thoughts, ideas, and questions with us on our social media platforms or email us at podcast@truewealthadvisors.ca. And who knows, your question might be the subject of a future episode.